Good morning, everybody. Can I give you a very warm welcome on a very wet morning to Little Hill Church? It's lovely to see you all here. It's great that we've been able to gather together to worship God. That's why we've come this morning. For some of you, you've been doing this for many years, coming along to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe for some of you, it's the first time that you've ever been to a church. Well, if that's the case, can I give you a very warm welcome? We're so pleased you've been able to come and join us for our service this morning. It's great to have you with us. My name's Josh. I'm from the church here at Little Hill. I'll be leading the service this morning, and then Dalton, who I'm sure all of you know, he will be speaking to us from God's Word, the Bible. What are we going to be doing this morning? Well, I've just given you a clue to some of it. We're going to be opening up the Bible, looking at what God would say to us through his word this morning as Dalton speaks to us. We're going to be praying and talking to God. He hears us when we talk to him. And we have this wonderful gift of prayer that we can speak to the living God. We're going to be singing and praising and worshiping God. That's something that we've missed doing for quite a while, but now able to do again. We're so thankful for that, to be able to sing together and worship God as well as we do that. But before we do anything else, let's ask God to be with us. Let's ask him to bless our time and to come and help us as we worship him. So let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we thank you for this day. It's a day that you've made. You've given this day to us. We thank you for the health and the strength that you've given to us to be able to meet together. Thank you for this building that we can meet in when the weather is so wet and cold outside. We want to ask for your help in everything that we do. We know that we're not coming to a God that's just an idol on a shelf. We're coming to you, the living God, and we pray that you would help us in everything that we do. Help us to understand what we read from the Bible. Help us as we sing and praise you to think about the words that we're singing and what they mean and what they teach us about who you are and what you've done for us. Help us as we pray. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, that through him we can come to you and bring our prayers, our thanks and our praise. So please help us in everything that happens this morning. We pray that your name would be honored and glorified. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read from the Bible some words from the New Testament, from 2 Timothy chapter 4. They'll be projected for you on the screen behind me, or follow in your Bible if you have one. Some words written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this, 2 Timothy 4 from verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Some great words there. The Apostle Paul telling us that what God has done was not only for him, not only for a few, but for all who have loved the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing now our first song this morning. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. It's a song that reminds us of the greatness and the glory of God, of who he is, what he's done, and why we should praise him. So if you're able to, when the music starts to play, if you're able to, please do stand. We'll sing our first hymn together.
Oh,
just have that last slide back on the wall? Is that okay? Thank you. Just look at those words. It reminds us God is the God who made everything. Oh, Lord, our God, the world was made at your command. In you, all things now hold together. It's so easy to think that the earth keeps spinning just because it does, or that the sun stays at the center of our solar system just because it does. But the Bible tells us it's there because God keeps it there, that he's the God who created the universe. And then it reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, now in heaven. He came to earth, he lived, he died, he rose again, but now he's in heaven. Now to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and power forever. When you know that Jesus has died for you and your sin has been forgiven, there's only one response, and that's to worship him, that praise and glory and power belong to him forever and ever and ever. There's no one greater, because no one in the history of our world has ever done anything as great as what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in coming to this world, dying for people who didn't deserve it, so that we could know forgiveness and be right with God again. That's why we worship God, because he's done such an amazing thing for us. Let's pray again. Our God in heaven, we thank you for those words that help us to express how joyful and glad we are as we think of what you've done for us this morning. We will magnify the Lord enthroned in Zion, that picture of you sat on the throne of heaven, the God who rules and reigns over everything. We thank you this morning. We've come together as a mixed group of people, people from lots of different nations and backgrounds who speak lots of different languages. But we thank you that you're the God of the whole world, that this world is here because you created it. You made all people. We are only here because of you, and you are the God who holds everything together. We worship you. There is no one else who is deserving of our praise, no one else that we should bow down and worship other than you, our God, because you are a great God. You have shown great love to us in giving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died in the place of people who've broken your law, those who've rejected you, those who deserve your judgment and punishment, that he took that in their place. And we thank you for that wonderful news, that everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ will be forgiven, that their sin, their guilt, their wrong is taken away, and they're right with God again, that no longer do they face judgment and eternity separated from you in hell. Can know forgiveness and joy and everlasting wonder, spending eternity with you in heaven. How much you've done for us. Thank you. We don't deserve it, but your grace, you giving us what we don't deserve, has made all of it possible. As we come to worship you this morning, fill our hearts with more joy. Maybe for the first time here in a church, hearing these things, Lord, thank you that you're not restricted to how many times we've been to church. And maybe even for someone hearing these things for the first time this morning, please, we pray, God in heaven, make it real for them. Open eyes to see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Give minds that are able to understand the truth that we read in your word, the Bible. And by your Holy Spirit, we pray, bring us all closer and closer to you. We need your help. We want to worship you rightly. We want to lift your name high because you're worthy of praise. So in all that we do, come and help us, we pray. Bless your word to us and speak to us, we ask. Please forgive our sins and help us to concentrate and take carefully and seriously all that we hear and learn together this morning, we pray. But Lord, come and be with us, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me just share some notices with you for the benefit of those who are here for the first time, but also for those of you who've been coming for many, many years. It's good to see you all again this morning, and to any joining us online as well, a good morning and a warm welcome to you as well for our service this morning. At the table in the back, some of you found that already at the back of this room, there's a table with literature on it. It's all free, and there's literature in different languages. If you see something there that you would like to read, feel free to take it. We'd love love you to take something that explains more about the Christian faith, about what we believe, about God, about the Bible, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's something that will help you more to understand these things, please do feel free to take that and make good use of it. There's some great resources available on our website as well. If you go to the Little Hill Church website, you can click on some links there if you prefer to do something digitally rather than actually reading something. I know sometimes we like to click and swipe rather than turn a page. Well, go to the website as well, and there's something there that you can click on and go to some links with more information about these really important things and about how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. So please do feel free to make good use of those things and to ask questions afterwards as well. There'll be some time, a short time afterwards to chat, and certainly for the students this afternoon having some time together, please do. If anything hasn't been clear for you, please don't be afraid to ask, and someone will be happy to explain that to you. Our service this afternoon isn't going to be on Zoom. So used to saying it's on Zoom at 5:30, but we're meeting back here in the building at 5:30, and it'd be great to see you come back for our afternoon service. It's not going to be on Zoom, so please don't stay at home and think, I'll just click on the link and watch it, because you won't find it. And it'd be great to see you back here this afternoon for another time of worship and opening up God's word. We're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit again. So if you have some time to read Galatians chapter 5 before this evening, that would be great. That will be a head start for you. So 5:30 in the building for our service this afternoon. If you are coming back, I think just something to ask you to do. If you're happy to come and sit back in the same seat, we're not cleaning everything in between. It just means it keeps everything safe and simple. So if you remember where you're sitting, if you're coming back for this evening, that would be great. And thank you for bearing with us still with the changes and the adapting that we're doing as we move forward. I think I've covered everything for the notices this week. For Little Hill folk, you've had the link emailed, or it's there for you on the website to keep up to date with what's going on. So please do get that information from there. I'm going to hand over to Trevor now for the children's talk. Thank you, Trevor.
Well, girls and boys, well, last week, our story about Elijah, if you remember, went up to heaven. And who was that person who came after Elijah? Oh, a very similar name. It was Elisha, if you remember. Well, there's Elisha, God's prophet, the man God was going to give his message to the people through. And one day, a lady came up to him, and this lady was really upset. She was crying. She was so worked up. And she came to Elisha and said, please, you must help me. Well, she began to tell Elisha what had happened. She said she was a widow. Her husband had died, but just before he died, he'd borrowed a load of money. And the man he'd borrowed it from, he wanted it back. She didn't have the money. And she said, what's even worse, he's going to come and take my two boys and he's going to sell them as slaves. I said, I might never see my boys again. They're going to be sold like animals and have to work for the rest of their lives. Well, we can understand why she was so upset. Elisha then asked her a question. He says, well, what have you got at home? She says, well, all I've got is a little jar with some oil in it. And then he told her what she had to do. And when he told her, he sent her home. She went home and she did exactly what Elisha said. She went and got all the pots and pans and jugs and bowls in the house. And she sent her sons to find some more. And when they'd got all of those, she sent them out to the neighbours, and they got them from the neighbours as well, until they had masses of jugs and pots and pans. And then she took the little jar of oil she'd got. Now, this is where God, I want to be clear here, God caused a miracle to happen. It wasn't magic. It wasn't some trick. God caused a miracle to happen. She filled the first bowl up with oil. And it went on pouring. She filled the next one with oil. And the next one, and the next one. And every bowl they brought, every jar, every pot, every pan, she filled up with oil. It kept on going and kept on going. And this was the miracle that God caused to happen. It wasn't magic. God caused this miracle until, in the end, every bowl that they had got, every container, was full of oil. When she'd done all that, she went back to Elisha and she told him what had happened, how God had caused this miracle to happen. And Elisha said to her, right, well, what I want you to do now, I want you to go and sell all of these jars of oil you've got, and the money you get from it all, that will pay the debt. And that meant her sons were saved. They had been rescued. They weren't going to become slaves. Now, boys and girls, that's a lovely story. But there's something we can learn from this story. You see, God caused a miracle to happen so that those two boys didn't become slaves. God saved them. And that reminds me of the Lord Jesus. Those boys were saved, and in the same way, God can save us. He can save us being slaves to sin. If we trust in the Lord Jesus, because he died there on Calvary, on that cross for us, if we really trust in him, he can save us as well. And that is the great thing we can remember from that story. Now we're going to have a song about a very famous word in the Bible about how Jesus died on that. Is that all right, Josh?
Thank you.
Yeah. I must admit, this has got a lot easier since you all join in. It's a very familiar tune, so we'll sing it through, but it might be the first time some of you have heard it, so we'll do it a second time, okay? So we'll go through it twice. We know the gospel truly tells us in chapter 3 of John that God so loved the sinful world that he gave his only son, and whosoever trusts in Jesus will never, never die. No, he won't be left to perish, but will have eternal life. You've heard it before, haven't you? Let's go again. We know the gospel truly tells us in chapter 3 of John that God so loved the sinful world that he gave his only son, and whosoever trusts in Jesus will never, never die. No, he won't be left to perish, but will have eternal life. Okay. Well, boys and girls, I think now it's time for you to go to Lions Cup, so that's it. If you head towards Sarah, great. Good to see so many of you here this morning as well. Okay. Well, we're going to have another Bible reading now, and Penny's going to bring that reading for us. So, Penny, Thank you.
The Bible reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Thank you, Penny. We're going to pray again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this great gift of prayer. We thank you that there is never a time that you are too far away to hear us, never a time that you're too tired or too busy. And we thank you because there are so many things that are happening that we want to bring to you. We want to thank you, first of all, for the way that you care for us and provide for us. We think about everything that's happened in these past 18 months almost with the coronavirus, and we thank you for how you've kept us. We thank you for the way that you have provided for us, Lord, when things have been so difficult and there's been such great need. We thank you in this nation how you've helped our health service to cope and to do so well in caring for those who've been so desperately ill. And we want to thank you for these many things, these many blessings, so much that we take for granted that you provide for us, our homes, our clothing, our food, our friendships, our families, our opportunities, our employment, our education. Father, we are aware that there are so many in this world who don't have any of these things. And we acknowledge that they come because you've given them to us. And we're so very thankful. Father, we would pray for our world this morning. We know that here, meeting together, we have peace. There's not any conflict going on outside. And we enjoy security and safety. But again, for many in the world, that's not the case. There are places in this world where there is war and great trouble. And we pray, Lord God, for those who are affected by this, those who are caught up innocently in these conflicts. We pray for them. We pray for Christians who are there, who are trying to share something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that comes through knowing him, even in those difficult circumstances. We pray that many will listen to that message and that many lives would be changed as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that these conflicts would end as people see that they are truly united in knowing him. Lord, we would pray for all the nations that are represented here. We thank you for them. And we pray, Lord God, for those who are here this morning who have family back home. We pray for those families. Lord, we thank you that we can pray for other people. It's one of the things that we can do to show love for each other, to pray for each other. Thank you that you hear our prayers and you're concerned. And Lord, as we come this morning, we think more closer to where we are. We pray for our nation. We know there's still a long way to go as we come out of this coronavirus situation. We thank you for the freedoms and things that have been relaxed recently, that we can enjoy things being opened up more and less restrictions. Help us still to be careful and wise. We continue to pray for our government, that they would make good and right decisions about the future and how we move ahead, Lord, to secure people's work and employment and opportunities. We pray for our health service still, as many are still suffering and struggling. And we think of those who've had to wait for operations and procedures because the hospitals have been so busy as they try to catch up with these things. We pray for them. Lord, we pray for ourselves that you would help us to be a blessing to one another. Help us as Christians to grow in our faith, in our knowledge of you, in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for each other. Help us to shine more clear and bright with the gospel in the places where you've put us, in the opportunities that we have in our homes or our workplaces or our streets where we live. Father, help us to be an encouragement to one another. Help us to get alongside others when they're struggling and to support them and to be that help to them, to show that love that you've shown to us. Lord, for those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we pray for them. We pray that in your mercy and kindness and grace, you would bring them to yourself, even this morning, that you would work in them that wonderful gift of your grace and that work of faith, that they would turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how we need your help for all these things. And as we think of ourselves and our needs this morning, perhaps there's needs that are known only to you. We bring these to you as well and pray that you would hear us and help us. We think of those from our fellowship here who are struggling with their health at this time, who are finding things very difficult, Lord, and perhaps as they get increasingly frail and find it hard to get out, we pray for them. We thank you for them. We thank you for their godly example and the way that they show to us what it is to keep following the Lord Jesus Christ, even through very difficult times. But we pray that you'd be near to them and help them and encourage them this morning. Lord, we pray for Dalton as he speaks to us in a few moments, that you would help him and that you would give him the right words to say as he teaches us from your word and shares something of the Lord Jesus with us. Help him, we pray, and help us all to be ready to listen and to learn. Lord, hear us, we pray. Please forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. We ask all these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to have another song before Dalton comes to speak to us. It's another song that reminds us of the greatness of God. Oh God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. Again, I'd encourage you, if you're able, to stand as the music starts to play. And then after that, Dalton will be speaking to us. Thank you.
Hope I'm plugged in, yes? Great. So if it's your first time, a very warm welcome to you. My name is Dalton, and I'm a member here at the church here at Little Hill. And for those of you online, a very warm welcome to you equally, in your homes or on holiday or wherever. Well, it's good to worship God together. Now, I have a problem because I've been told I've got to watch the markers I've got here because I can't keep still, as some of you know. So we'll see how we get on. I've got to be probably the technician's worst nightmare, but there we are. Now, I wonder if anybody can guess, where in the world is that tower? Where is it? Any ideas? You can put your hand up or shout out, where is it? Sorry? Where? Tokyo. Yeah? Is that what you think? Is that what you said? Right. Okay. Put your hand up if you think she's right. You can put a hand up, yeah? All right. Most hands are going up. Okay. Right. Hands down. It is. And of course, with the Olympics games have been going on. And I've been a little bit in the doghouse, or I'm in trouble because our TV packed up just over a week ago and still not got one. And my wife's looking at it on an iPad and I'm in trouble. But it's all exciting and people have been watching the games. Now, guess what? We are going to have our own Olympics here this morning. That's our church. And we're going to call it, what are we going to call it? Little Hill Christian Olympics 2021. Yes, we're going to have our Olympics. Now then, you notice I've put the word Christian there. Now, just a slight distinction, because the Olympics at the moment, it's all about who? It's about the athlete. It's about the person getting ready. It's all about them, isn't it? It's all about their country as well. And that's great. We should want to be the best in terms of the athlete and training. You've got to be careful the food you eat, yeah? You've got to, the sleep you get, it's amazing. And they've got psychology, all sorts of people, and it's amazing. I used to think, what did they used to do years ago? Anyway, it's all done very carefully. But at the end of the day, it's all about the athlete, isn't it? It's what the athlete can do, how much work the athlete puts in. And eventually, it's whether the athlete will win or not. And yes, it's for the benefit of the athlete, but it's for the benefit not just of the athlete. Who else is it for the benefit of? It's all right, you can shout the country out. Is it a benefit of for who, as well as the athlete? For their country, that's right. And it's all about them. Now then, if we get back to my word, we've got Little Hill Christian Olympics. Because the Olympics we're going to have in a moment, it's not all about the athlete, the person. It's all about who, do you think? Jesus, that's right. It's all about God and what God does in you and me. So that's important. I wanted to make that distinction there. So let's move on. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now, this was a letter that was written by an author. We're not quite sure, although most people say it's the Apostle Paul, but there we are. We're not sure. I tend to think it's Paul, the Apostle Paul, but there we are. And when he wrote this letter, he wrote it to a small group of people. Now, we don't write letters so much these days, do we? Firstly, it's expensive to post. Secondly, it takes time. But there are some very good people, even in our church, who are very faithful, and they are good in writing letters. And I think that's great. What do we tend to do these days? Emails, don't we? It's quick and it's cheap. But this man here, the Apostle Paul, he's called an apostle, meaning it's someone that was sent forth by God to deliver God's message. And he wrote this letter to a very small group of Christians. It doesn't say exactly who they were, but in the sense that the Christians, they were struggling. They were Jewish Christians, really having a difficult time. And when he wrote this letter, Actually, in Hebrews chapter 13, and I think it's verse 23, it talks a little bit there. It mentions Italy and it mentions Timothy, but it doesn't say exactly when he was writing it, the precise location. But we know it was a small group of people that he wanted to encourage. So, this is our text. What does it say? It says this. Since, and I hope you all can see it there, and it's really important, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, point number one we're going to look at, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us, what? Run with endurance. That's our second point. So you've worked out all my points already, haven't you? The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Okay. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at those three things there. Lay aside, run with endurance, looking to Jesus. But just before we do that, and I've already answered my question here because I've already said who it was written to. The letter was written to a small group of Christians, and the reason why this Paul, we believe it was Paul, it could have been someone else, he wanted to encourage the Christians there. And the three things we're going to look at, I've already mentioned, are those three things. So let's just move on quickly. Lay aside. What does it mean to lay aside? What do you think it means? Well, for the athlete, for the Christian race that we're talking about here, it means sin and the things that hold us back. What do we mean by sin? What are the sins that we're talking about? What's the thing? Well, anything that is against God is a sin. So things that we think of, things that we say, things that we do, if it's against God, it's a sin. It's wrong. And sin stops the Christian. Remember we're saying it's a Christian Olympics. Sin will stop the Christians from getting on. And yes, this message of this letter, when it was first written, it was written to Christians. And we're going to say a little bit more about it to those who are not Christians. But it's saying that sin stops us. Now then, what do you think can stop the athlete from running? What gets in their way? Do you see an athlete? And what have I got here? I've got a bag here. And I've got some bricks in here. Put your hand up if you've ever seen an athlete running with a haversack and bricks at the back, inside. Do you ever put your hand up if you've actually seen some? Of course you don't. What will this do? Oh boy, I've got to stay in my line now. What does it do? If you've got bricks in there, what will it do? It will slow you down. It will slow you down. So the athlete had to get rid of that. For the Christian, we must get rid of sin. Sin is against God, and God is holy. And, you know, we've all got to watch it. We're dealing with a God who's pure. We're dealing with a God who will have nothing to do with that which is unpure. Watch your lives, the things we say. What else can hold us back? Well, money. The love of money. Nothing wrong in having money. But it's a love of it. Let's watch it. Some people live as if and work as if, you know, they've got all, you know, they've got here till eternity. They'll never die. They think, you know, this is it. This is my life. We need to live for God. Not just for ourselves. Not for just for our families. And it's important that we care for our families. But money can get in the way. What else can get in the way? Career can hold us back. There may be, you know, some of you here, great to see you from all over the world, but even our careers can hold us back from really wanting to follow the Lord Jesus. We want the next promotion, and we get the next promotion, and actually we find that we become more miserable, and we think, what's the purpose of it all? What is it all about? So in this Christian Olympics, what did we say? It's not about us, it's about God and what God can do in your life and in my life. So yes, to the Christians, we've got to put sin away, we've got to put money aside, careers. And if you're not a Christian, it same applies for you. Who are you living for? Great that you're studying, some of you, great. You're hoping to go back to your country and make a difference or stay here, whatever. But then there comes a point where you think, well, actually, even with all the studies, even with all these things, there must be more to life than studying. There must be more to life than just money. We look at some of the stars, don't we? Some of the famous people. I often think of Amy Winehouse. Do you remember her? Young girl, very talented, but yet her life was completely messed up. And others, where there were just, you know, other things just came in the way. So here we are, just looking back, and the writer to this letter here, he is encouraging Christians to keep on keeping on. Because when you look at, if we look at verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles us. And he talks there about a cloud of witnesses. Well, let's just try and clear that up. Now, what the writer is reminding all the Christians and reminding us, he's talking about those who have gone before. You see, the Christians, we've got great champions. And we haven't got time. But if we were to look at chapter 11 in Hebrews chapter 11, it mentions all the champions of the Christian faith. A man called Abraham and Moses and Enoch. A lady named Sarah. And all these people who have gone before, what the writer is now saying, look, there's a great cloud of witnesses. There's a great company of people, spectators, looking on. And as they look on, they're cheering you on to say, go on. You know, let's lay aside anything that gets in the way. And, you know, and it's for us today. We want to pull these things aside. Why? Because we want to follow Jesus. So, that's the first thing. Lay aside, throttle, get rid of. But then the verse goes on, doesn't it? Because it says there, run with endurance. What's endurance? Can someone tell me? What do you think endurance is? You can tell me under your mask. Or what do we mean by endurance? Sorry? What's that, Janice? Don't give up. Love that. Don't give up. The easiest thing in the world to do, let's be honest, sometimes is to give up. We say today, excuse the slang, we'll chuck it all in. That's the end. We're not bothered. But when you become a Christian, what did we say? It's not all about you. It's about what God can do in you. Praise God. What he can do in you and me. So it's all about God working in you. And he is able to help you to endure. If it's left by ourselves, just as we'd be reminded there, we'd give up, wouldn't we? Well, we'd give up years ago. But what a God that's there to keep us. So let us run with endurance. Now, despite what? What gets in the way sometimes? Despite the hurdles in our lives. What are the hurdles that we get? Let's have a look. Is God real? We may say. We get doubts sometimes, don't we? Let's be honest. We all do.
We get doubts. We think, what's the point of it all? We think, where is God? We're on the park on Wednesday. One of the work we're involved in, and the questions we keep getting on the park from the youngsters so much is, where is God? Why didn't God stop this? Why, you know, why all the sufferings? And loads of whys. But people are never looking at themselves to say, why am I so bad? Why am I so sinful? They don't, do they? Just ready to blame God. But doubts get in the way. And do you know what? If you're not a Christian this morning, God can dispel your doubts. He can give you a real purpose in your life and a real desire. And this message is for everybody, actually. It's not a student message or anything like that. It's for everybody. We all need God. So, when we get the hurdles, when we get the doubts, He is there. Sometimes we say, why? Why me? Boy, put your hand up. Have you ever done that before? Why me? I put hand, feet, put everything up, don't we? Because we think, why is this happening to me? They're the hurdles we get. Why ill health in my family? Why are we struggling? And despite all these hurdles, God wants us to follow Him and to trust Him. So what was the first point we say we must do? Point number one, we must what? Lay aside, thank you. And what must we lay aside? The sin, all the things that will hold us back. We did the analogy. An athlete won't be wearing something like this. Yes, I've got a couple of bricks in here. They won't. Why? Because it will hold them back. And in the Christian life, we want to just follow the Lord Jesus. Day by day, moment by moment. So, let's turn it all around. So we need to lay aside, we need to run with endurance, but then we must ask a question, mustn't we? How do we do it? How do we do it? What's it say there? Look to Jesus. That's how we do it. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. And let me just say it again. If you're not a Christian this morning, who are you looking to? We were reminded of a miracle in the children's story. And I'm glad it was emphasized. No magic. We don't believe in it. It was a miracle, work of God. And in the same way, if you become a Christian, if you give your life to the Lord Jesus, He brings you from darkness to light. And that's a miracle. Because of what He has done. But not only that, He put your feet on the rock. And we can say, on Christ, the solid rock, who stand? We stand. And all other ground is what? Sinking sand. That's right. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence this morning, but, you know, we want to be plain and simple, and let us rejoice that we've got a God who can set our feet upon a rock. And there are times when it's so hard to keep going. We have challenges in our family lives. We have challenges at university. We have challenges in our work life. But God, we've got to keep looking to Jesus. And as we look to Jesus day by day, what do we find as we look to Him? Well, we find His word. And it was good. Josh held up the Bible. We need it. God's word keeps us going day by day. And as we read God's word, He speaks to us. And we suddenly realize, you know what? I've messed up. In my life, I've really messed up. I need the Lord Jesus in my life. I want to trust in Him that He came into this world, yes, born as a baby, and then He died on a cross. He died a death that he didn't deserve, and he did it all for me. Oh, people, get excited. Such love. What a God. However we feel, whatever we've done even, this God is able to save us. What do we mean by save us? He'll able to give us a new purpose in our life, a new direction, if we really ask him to come into our lives and make a difference. And this is why we read earlier on this reading, and I'll get to it in a moment, because the question is, what is your life? Is your life built on your own success? Is it? Remember what we were saying about the athletes? Their success, and it's great, the British, we've done really well, haven't we? UK, we've done very well. I think the leaderboard, is it UK, is it USA? Tell me if I'm wrong. USA first, and I think it's China next, and I think it's Japan third, and I think UK is fourth. That was up until yesterday, but I don't know about today. Has that order changed? Yeah? No? Okay, well, there we are. But are we building our lives on the success of how we've got on? Instead of building our lives, surely, on the spiritual race. That's what we want. Or the Christian race. That's what we want, isn't it? Because ultimately, we know if we build our life on the Lord Jesus, if we consider him, and I love that, consider him, it says there, the one who endured. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Again, still the Bible. That's why I put there in brackets. So important that you see that everything that we say this morning is from the Bible. It's God's word. It talks about, consider him who endured. He went to that cross, as I said earlier, and he died a death that he didn't deserve. And this is why, I was mentioning it earlier, we read earlier, one from 2 Timothy chapter 4, because towards the end of the life, this same man, we believe, the Apostle Paul, he was Paul the aged. He was getting old when he wrote this bit. He was able to say, I've finished the race. Christians this morning, how are you doing in the race? Can you say, I'm going on, Dalton, despite all the hindrances, despite all the things that get in the way, I'm keep on going on. And for those of you who are not a Christian, when will you begin this race? Well, you need to start now. You need to start today. You need to tell the Lord that you've messed up. You're a sinner, condemned, unclean. And you want to be in this race. You want him to save you. You want him to make a difference. So this man here, Paul, he says, I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And you know, the great thing for the Christian, the thing that we believe, the thing that rejoice in, that Jesus is coming again. And we say, praise God. What a day it will be. And for the Christian, it stirs us on, it spurs us on to keep on going. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. He's not dead. He's alive. And you can know and love this same Lord Jesus if you really put your faith in him. And as we finish, vital question. Can you answer that question? Where will you go when you die? Now, we're not trying to frighten people. We're trying to be real. Where will you go? Do you know where you'd be going? I know where I'll be going, not because of what I've done, but because of what God's done in me and many others here. You know where you're going? Because of what God's done. He's come into your life. He's changed you. You've become a Christian. And because of that, we're going to heaven. Praise God. Amen. Good to have it. go to heaven. And we thank God for that. But if you reject the things of God, and you think you're just going to go your own way, if you think you just want to be in the first race, where it's all about you, remember what we said, that first race, it's all about you, yes, and your country, and that's all good and proper and right, yeah? And if you think, well, I'm just going to forget about God, it doesn't matter. Well, the Bible, and again, it was mentioned earlier, speaks of hell. And it's a fearful place to be separated from God for all eternity. And we speak like this softly and yet meaningfully. Hell is real. Heaven is real. But if we put our faith and trust in this Lord Jesus, we can know joy that he gives. And this joy is not joy that just lasts for about 10 or 15 minutes for a day. It's joy that's eternal. It lasts forever. Well, may the Lord cause us all to say to ourselves, do you know what? I want to be in this Christian race where I can know and love the Lord Jesus. Well, this is why I've chosen deliberately this next hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And it's to a new tune. Some of you may know, some of you may not. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And just look at the line again, that first line, where it says, my hope. What do we mean by my hope? Well, my desire, my aspiration, what is it built on? My prayer is this morning that it will be built on the Lord Jesus. Amen. As a reminder, just before we pray, students, there are leaflets at the back there in your language. Can I urge you, please, to have a look at the leaflets? If you're not a student, there are other booklets there. But please, please, please take a literature, speak to someone outside, or if you want to know more, anyone, have a word with Penny, any of the students. But when we get back afterwards at my home, we can talk on. Excuse me, once I'll have to be dashing straight after the service, but let's get our peace right with God. Let's make sure we're right with him in the light of what we've heard. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can say, for those of us who know and love you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me on that cross. Thank you for dying for the Christians who know and love you here. And Lord, for any here, we say again, who have never, ever put their faith and trust in you, oh, that they will, even this morning, be willing to follow Jesus. Lord, thank you that you went all the way to Calvary for sinful men and women and boys and girls. And we thank you, Lord, that there is coming a day when all the nations, people, black, white, purple, pink, yellow, all the nations of the world shall gather in that one place, there in heaven. What a day it will be. And until that day, Lord, we pray that you'll keep us all marching on despite the hurdles, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.